Time now for Ask McClane Anything.
John, Bill O'Brien once told Mike and me that he actually genuinely does enjoy his exchanges with Brian T. Smith. Was Bill O'Brien lying to our faces? He seemed pretty genuine.
I think that he enjoys exchanges after they're over, but not at the time.
Like afterwards, he kind of appreciates the break in the monotony.
I think he probably sometimes regrets the way he reacts so quick to some of the questions.
Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't saying he enjoys those exchanges, but he actually enjoys like talking to Brian T. Smith.
He enjoys talking to the media. He even enjoys talking and misses Paul.
Yeah. Oh, he says he misses Paul.
I asked him a couple of questions yesterday.
Yeah. Did he recognize? Did he say, "Oh, Paul, where you been?"
He didn't say my name, but I was wearing sunglasses and a hat because I have to keep my pasty white skin protected from the UV rays out there.
And you got the beard. Did you have the beard last season?
Well, when the fourth, fifth, and sixth round of the drafts and seventh round of the drafts took place, we interviewed him afterwards, and I did have the beard.
Okay. So he's aware of the beard.
He does know about the beard.
Did he congratulate you on your promotion?
No, he didn't.
Hmm.
No. Uh-oh.
This means something.
Should I be concerned?
Yeah, I don't know. Usually usually Amy Palsik or somebody would have alerted to him that you might be on the outs with B.O.B.
No.
I don't think so. John, is it okay for a guy to wear pink socks?
Boy, if you're going to wear pink socks, you better be really skinny. You better be really hip to the rest of your ensemble to get away with pink socks.
So I could do it.
But you could do it. Generally, though, I would say no.
I don't know about that. I think you can throw pink in there. Anyway, it's a power move. It's kind of like, especially almost the less like a fashion model you look, the more it's like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm wearing pink, whatever. Screw you.
Well, I don't have a problem with pink, just pink socks.
Oh, really?
I've never seen pink socks.
Really? Is that a thing? Ties. Does it mean something?
I've got like four pink ties I'll wear when I have to wear ties, but socks I've never seen.
You made a good point about the skinny thing. One thing I've noticed is that like you can be, if you're skinny, you can wear whatever the hell you want as long as it fits right. You look like you're at the heights of fashion. What are you laughing about?
I forgot pink sock under the dictionary.
What?
I'm sorry. Do yourself a favor. Well, I don't know if this is a favor. This actually might gross everyone out. Pink sock on Urban Dictionary is an interesting term. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up while we continue to take questions. John,
this is exactly how the medium of radio should be used.
Did you ever cover Jim Kelly and the Gamblers?
No, I covered the Oilers. We had another guy covered the Gamblers.
Interesting. let's see. John, where do you get your hair cut?
I go to David Delotti's Supercuts on Silver, and I've been doing it now several years. And when I like it, they don't charge a lot, and they give you a massage, and they give you a facial.
They give you a massage?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Like a neck massage, face massage, and everything?
That's why. They massage your face, put stuff on it, rub the heck out of it. I love it.
You know what I could never – have you ever tried the Whole Foods massage?
No, they have those.
They've got
there?
Chair massage. Yeah,
I know they
some
have
of the
them,
Whole
yeah.
Foods. Yeah.
I'm too intimidated to go inside Whole Foods.
It's a good move. You kind of it's addictive.
It's a good place.
I've only been in once. It was when I was dating someone and we went there to get sandwiches.
Yeah,
and the sandwiches are really good.
They
especially
are good.
Especially the newer ones too. You go in. I used to be an anti Whole Foods guy. I'd be like, I'm never gonna go to Whole Foods. That's for yuppies and hippies and everything. And now like I'd like to rent a room in the back. I'd be like, can I just live here for a while? I just feel happy when I'm here. The employees are so nice, is what it is.
John, based on your injury and your recovery the last couple weeks, what do you think most of us take for granted the most in our daily lives?
What most of us take for granted, boy, I would say if you work out, then you can't take your health as for granted. I would think if you have a wife or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, after a while, we definitely take them for granted.
Yeah. That's usually it's their fault. Like, come on, do something different.
It's always their fault.
Yeah, that's how my wife knows. She knows there's pressure on her. Like, do something different every now and then. All right. Keep it interesting for me. She knows.
John, will Houston have an NHL team by 2020?
2020. No, I wish they would. I wish Tillman Fertitta would get one to bring in to his building so he would be able to have more dates. But right now, even when there's been interest, there was a little interest, I was told, in the Carolina franchise, and then they sold to local ownership. So I'll say no.
Should the Texans bring in Orlando Scandrick?
No.
Seems like they're pretty happy with the cornerback situation as of right now. What do you think the realistic expectation should be for Watt this season?
I know what JJ's thinking. He's thinking that he wants to get back to where he was. I would think if he could get in the 10-sack era, play the run well, and play an entire season, that would be a tremendous comeback.
I would definitely sign for that. You tell me 8-10 sacks, plays the run well, I would sign for that right now.
Me too.
John, this is an interesting question, and I'm going to ask it to you. Normally I wouldn't ask this question, except that I know that the answer is very complex, and it's not going to be a personal one for you. Because, John, what is the average salary for sports writers?
It's changed because newspapers are, some are going out of business. They're cutting back. They have layoffs. A lot of guys are going online. I've seen more changes lately in the sports writing business than I think I've ever seen. It's because the Athletic, the online site, spent a lot of money and hiring a lot of people. But it depends on the experience. If you've been around for a while, I'm sure salary's somewhere between $70,000-$80,000, and then
for a major city or a top 50 market.
For a major city, yes. And then the papers in the East make more. Mm-hmm. Sometime if you've been around a while, then you'll make over 100.
So the money's still there. It's just that is it not as high at the top end where you used to have some columnists making over $1 million and whatnot?
No.
There never were columnists making $1 million?
Not here.
Not here, in like New York,
like,
and
maybe Mike Lupica or somebody, Dan Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
Now, no newspaper person I've ever heard of makes $1 million a year.
The one thing that I always tell kids is when they ask about radio is, like, in this industry especially, and I would imagine it's the same in newspaper writing, you're going to see stats for the average salary, and what you have to understand
is it's useless
because, like, at the smaller markets, it is really, really low, and you're going to have a second job and you're going to be driving Uber. If you have aspirations, at the top end of any of these jobs, you can still make a really good living. It's just that the average salary is way lower than what you're thinking of as your dream job. So you got to, it's a gamble. Like, you get into it, and it's like you're either gonna make it, or you're gonna get really depressed like 20 years later, and you're gonna wish you had chosen another job.
And one of the good things about being in the talk show business, you make a lot of money from ads.
Yeah,
good points. John, on a related note, would it be possible for a member of the media to be successful without using any social media at all?
Today, I think you would. I don't think you could break into it and make a point. But if you were good and word spread about you, and then people, if you didn't use social media, but other people retweeted you, is that what they're talking about? Is it just you couldn't use it?
I would imagine they're saying like Rich Lord doesn't do anything social media wise. Like, where I don't think like a young Rich Lord would, and Rich knows this. Like, he has the benefit of being here for a long time. Rich Lord starting out, you got to have social media accounts.
But I think if you're good, other people will make sure people hear about you.
Hmm. Okay. That's tough. I mean, you know, Paul and I yesterday were talking about live streaming, which is what these kids, like these vloggers, will just live stream for 4 hours a day and go out and just do things in life and do crazy things and everything. They're making really, really good money. You just have, like, the good ones are making over $1 million a year. And, like, that's the extreme end of the spectrum. And I don't know, it's not like you obviously want to necessarily be that person, but it seems like writing or being on television now, it's almost a job requirement that your personality has to be out there way more than it was before. It's not like, hey, I delivered gold for 30 minutes once a week and I'm going to get famous that way.
I should start wearing a GoPro all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Texans dressing room.
Don't violate the Texans media policy when you're out there GoProing.
That's, see if I make $1 million.
Yeah. You might could surprise some people. You become I bet there's, John,
and I'd wear it up here.
There's a market for this, because these vloggers make a lot of money because a lot of kids that have free time, teenagers and young adults, are watching these people. I don't think there's much of a market for, like, somebody my age live
people
streaming 4 hours
to work
a day. Right. So, but you have a very, very, very strong appeal with people who may be recently retired or are retired already. They've got a little time on their hands. They might be interested in watching John McClane's life for 3 or 4 hours a day, and then you could sell the various products that they want to buy.
That's why they always tell us we need to be credible with young people, and young people could be teenagers, anybody. Anytime I see people who are anybody reaches out to me, I'll be nice to them. But when it's millennials or younger, I'm polite as can be.
Yeah, oh, just because that's the, you're going to try to,
because I don't want it just to be the older, young, retired people.
You know what, though?
Paying attention.
And this is why it's good that, this is why it's good that you're a radio personality, though. I don't fear that. Like, I'd like to not sound old, and I'd like to maintain a certain youthfulness to me. But, like, I'm in the golden age for my profession right now. Like, I need to appeal to men 25 to 54 more than anything else. Those are the people that are the heavy buyers. So I'm 43 years old. I'm right in the sweet spot there. But I'm going to ride my audience all the way until our graves. Like, I'll be 20 years from now. Seth doesn't appeal to the younger people. I don't care. I'm selling Depends, baby. I'm selling hair restoration. I get down into 79, 85 years old. I'm talking about what funeral homes are best. Where am I going to get cremated? All that stuff. I don't even care. Oh, no, the 21-year-olds don't like me. I'm talking about cremation. I'm talking about living wills, all that stuff.
I like this strategy. I think it'll go pretty well for you.
Hell yeah. It's me and my crew. To
John,
the grave. With you, baby.
We will see you next week. Enjoy
practice.
Thank
you guys
today.
Very much.
Thanks,
I appreciate
John.
It as always.
Don't melt out there. God, it's so hot.
It's
I hate
hot.
It. I hate it so much.